And now, Chapter 5, Meeting of Nanda and Vasudev. Although Krishna was the real son of Vasudev and Devaki, because of Kamsa's atrocious activities, Vasudev could not enjoy the birth ceremony of his son. But Nanda Maharaj, the foster father, celebrated the birth ceremony of Krishna very joyfully. The next day, it was declared that a male child was born to Yashoda. According to Vedic custom, Nanda Maharaj called for learned astrologers and Brahmins to perform the birth ceremony. After the birth of a child, the astrologers calculate the moment of the birth and make a horoscope of the child's future life. Another ceremony takes place after the birth of the child. The family members take baths, cleanse themselves, and decorate themselves with ornaments and nice garments. Then they come before the child and the astrologer to hear of the future life of the child. Nanda Maharaj and other members of the family dressed and sat down in front of the birthplace. All the Brahmins who were assembled there on this occasion chanted auspicious mantras according to the rituals, while the astrologers performed the birth ceremony. All the demigods are also worshipped on this occasion, as well as the forefathers of the family. Nanda Maharaj distributed 200,000 well-decorated, dressed, and ornamented cows to the Brahmins. He not only gave cows in charity, but hills of grains, decorated with golden-bordered garments and many ornaments. In the material world, we possess riches and wealth in many ways, but sometimes not in very honest and pious ways, because that is the nature of accumulating wealth. According to the Vedic injunction, therefore, one should purify such wealth by giving cows and gold in charity to the Brahmins. A newborn child is also purified by gifts of grains in charity to the Brahmins. In this material world, it is to be understood that we are always living in a contaminated state. We therefore have to purify the duration of our lives, our possession of wealth, and ourselves. We can purify our duration of life by taking daily bath and cleansing the body inside and outside, and accepting the 10 kinds of purificational processes. By austerities, by worship of the Lord, and by the distribution of charity, we can purify the possession of wealth. We can purify ourselves by studying the Vedas, by striving for self-realization, and by understanding the supreme absolute truth. It is therefore stated in the Vedic literature that by birth, everyone is born a Shudra, and by accepting the purificational process, one becomes twice born. By studies of the Vedas, one can become Vipra, which is the preliminary qualification for becoming a Brahmin. When one understands the absolute truth in perfection, he is called a Brahmin. And when the Brahmin reaches further perfection, he becomes a Vaishnav or a devotee. In that ceremony, all the Brahmins assembled began to chant different kinds of Vedic mantras to invoke all good fortune for the child. There are different kinds of chanting known as Sutta, Magda, Bandi, and Virudavali. Along with this chanting of mantras and songs, bugles and kettle drums sounded outside the house. On this occasion, the joyous vibrations could be heard in all the pasturing grounds and all the houses. Within and outside of the houses, there were varieties of artistic paintings done with rice pulp, and scented water was sprinkled everywhere, even on the roads and streets. Ceilings and roofs were decorated with different kinds of flags, festoons, and green leaves. The gates were made of green leaves and flowers. All the cows, bulls, and calves were smeared with a mixture of oil and turmeric and painted with minerals like oxide, yellow clay, and manganese. They wore garlands of peacock feathers and were covered with nice colored dresses and gold necklaces. When all the ecstatic cowherd men heard that Nanda Maharaj, father of Krishna, was celebrating the birth ceremony of his son, they became spontaneously joyful. They dressed themselves with very costly garments and ornamented their bodies with different kinds of earrings and necklaces and wore great turbans on their heads. After dressing themselves in this gorgeous way, they took various kinds of presentations and thus approached the house of Nanda Maharaj. As soon as they heard that Mother Yashoda had given birth to a child, all the cowherd women became overwhelmed with joy, and they also dressed themselves with various kinds of costly garments and ornaments and smeared scented cosmetics on their bodies. As the dust on the lotus flower exhibits the exquisite beauty of the flower, all the gopis or cowherd women applied the dust of kunkum on their lotus-like faces. These beautiful gopis took their different presentations and very soon reached the house of Maharaj Nanda. Overburdened with their heavy hips and swollen breasts, the gopis could not proceed very quickly towards the house of Nanda Maharaj, but out of ecstatic love for Krishna, they began to proceed as quickly as possible. Their ears were decorated with pearl rings. Their necks were decorated with jewel lockets. Their lips and eyes were decorated with different kinds of lipstick and ointment, and their hands were decorated with nice golden bangles. As they were very hastily passing over the stone road, the flower garlands which were decorating their bodies fell to the ground, and it appeared that a shower of flowers was falling from the sky. From the movement of the different kinds of ornaments on their bodies, they were looking still more beautiful. In this way, they all reached the house of Nanda Yashoda and blessed the child, saying, "Dear child, you live long just to protect us." While they were blessing child Krishna in this way, they offered a mixture of turmeric powder with oil, yogurt, milk, and water. They sprinkled this mixture not only on the body of child Krishna, but on all other persons who were present there. Also, on that auspicious occasion, there were different bands of expert musicians playing. When the cowherd men saw the pastimes of the cowherd women, they became very joyful, and in response, they also began to throw yogurt, milk, clarified butter, and water upon the bodies of the gopis. Then, both parties began to throw butter on each other's bodies. Nanda Maharaj was also very happy to see the pastimes of the cowherd men and women, and he became very liberal in giving charity to the different singers who were assembled there. Some singers were reciting great verses from the Upanishads and Puranas. Some were glorifying the family ancestors, and some were singing very sweet songs. There were also many learned Brahmins present, and Nanda Maharaj, being very satisfied on this occasion, began to give them different kinds of garments, ornaments, and cows in charity. It is very important to note in this connection how wealthy the inhabitants of Vrindavan were, simply by raising cows. All the cowherd men belonged to the Vaishya community, and their business was to protect the cows and cultivate crops. By their dress and ornaments, and by their behavior, it appears that although they were in a small village, they still were rich in material possessions. They possessed such an abundance of various kinds of milk products that they were throwing butter lavishly on each other's bodies without restriction. Their wealth was in milk, yogurt, clarified butter, and many other milk products. And by trading their agricultural products, they were rich in various kinds of jewelry, ornaments, and costly dresses. Not only did they possess all these things, but they could give them away in charity, as did Nanda Maharaj. Thus, Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Lord Krishna, began to satisfy the desires of all the men assembled there. He respectfully received them and gave them in charity whatever they desired. The learned Brahmins, who had no other source of income, were completely dependent on the Vaishya and Kshatriya communities for their maintenance, and they received gifts on such festive occasions as birthdays and marriages. While Nanda Maharaj was worshipping Lord Vishnu on this occasion and was trying to satisfy all the people there, his only desire was that the newborn child Krishna be happy. Nanda Maharaj had no knowledge that this child was the origin of Vishnu. He was praying to Lord Vishnu to protect him. Rohini Devi, mother of Balaram, was the most fortunate wife of Vasudev. She was away from her husband, yet just to congratulate Maharaj Nanda on the occasion of the birth ceremony of his son, Krishna, she dressed herself very nicely. Wearing a garland, a necklace, and other bodily ornaments, she appeared on the scene and moved hither and thither. According to the Vedic system, a woman whose husband is not at home does not dress herself very nicely. But although Rohini's husband was away, she still dressed herself very nicely on this occasion. From the opulence of the birth ceremony of Krishna, it is very clear that at this time Vrindavan was rich in every respect. Because Lord Krishna took birth in the house of King Nanda and Mother Yashoda, the goddess of fortune was obliged to manifest her opulences in Vrindavan. It appeared that Vrindavan had already become a site for the pastimes of the goddess of fortune. After the birth ceremony, Nanda Maharaj decided to go to Mathura to pay the annual tax to the government of Kamsa. Before leaving, he called for the able cowherd men of the village and asked them to take care of Vrindavan in his absence. When Nanda Maharaj arrived in Mathura, Vasudev got the news and was very eager to congratulate his friend. He immediately went to the place where Nanda Maharaj was staying. When Vasudev saw Nanda, he felt that he had regained his life. Nanda, overwhelmed with joy, immediately stood up and embraced Vasudev. Vasudev was received very warmly and offered a nice place to sit. At that time, Vasudev was anxious about his two sons, who had been put under the protection of Nanda, without Nanda's knowledge. With great anxiety, Vasudev inquired about them. Both Balaram and Krishna were the sons of Vasudev. Balaram was transferred to the womb of Rohini, Vasudev's own wife. But Rohini was kept under the protection of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna was personally delivered to Yashoda, an exchange with her daughter. Nanda Maharaj knew that Balaram was the son of Vasudev, although he did not know that Krishna was also Vasudev's son. But Vasudev was aware of this fact and inquired very eagerly about Krishna and Balaram. Vasudev then addressed him, "My dear brother, you are old enough and very anxious to beget a son, and yet you had none. Now, by the grace of the Lord, you are fortunate to have a very nice son. I think that this incident is very auspicious for you. Dear friend, I was imprisoned by Kamsa, and now I am released. Therefore, this is another birth for me. I had no hope of seeing you again, but by God's grace I can see you." Vasudev then expressed his anxiety about Krishna. Krishna was sent incognito to the bed of Mother Yashoda. And after very pompously celebrating his birth ceremony, Nanda went to Mathura. So Vasudev was very pleased and said, "This is a new birth for me." He never expected that Krishna would live, because all his other sons were killed by Kamsa. Vasudev continued, "My dear friend, it is very difficult for us to live together. Although we have our family and relatives, sons and daughters, by nature's way we are generally separated from one another. The reason for this is that every living entity appears on this earth under different pressures of fruitive activities. Although they assemble together, there is no certainty of their remaining together for a long time. According to one's fruitive activities, one has to act differently and thereby be separated. For example, many plants and creepers are floating on the waves of the ocean. Sometimes they come together, and sometimes they separate forever. One plant goes one way, and another plant goes another. Similarly, our family assembly may be very nice while we are living together, but after some time, in the course of the waves of time, we are separated. The purport of this expression by Vasudeva is this. Although he had 8 sons born in the womb of Devaki, unfortunately, they were all gone. He could not even keep his one son, Krishna, with him. Vasudeva was feeling his separation, but he could not express the real fact. "Please tell me about the welfare of Vrindavan," he said. "You have many animals. Are they happy? Are they getting sufficient grass and water? Please also let me know whether the place where you are now living is undisturbed and peaceful." This inquiry was made by Vasudeva because he was very anxious about Krishna's safety. He knew that Kamsa and his followers were trying to kill Krishna by sending various kinds of demons. They had already resolved that all children born within 10 days of the birthday of Krishna should be killed. Because Vasudeva was so anxious about Krishna, he inquired about the safety of his residence. He also inquired about Balaram and his mother Rohini, who were entrusted to the care of Nanda Maharaj. Vasudeva also reminded Nanda Maharaj that Balaram did not know his real father. "He knows you as his father, and now you have another child, Krishna, and I think you are taking very nice care of both of them." It is also significant that Vasudeva inquired about the welfare of Nanda Maharaj's animals. The animals, and especially the cows, were protected exactly in the manner of one's children. Vasudeva was a kshatriya or warrior, and Nanda Maharaj was a vaishya or farmer. It is the duty of the kshatriya to give protection to the citizens of mankind, and it is the duty of the vaishyas to give protection to the cows. The cows are as important as the citizens. Just as the human citizens should be given all kinds of protection, so the cows also should be given full protection. Vasudeva continued to say that the maintenance of religious principles, economic development, and the satisfactory execution of meeting the demands of the senses depend on cooperation among relatives, nations, and all humanity. Therefore, it is everyone's duty to see that his fellow citizens and the cows are not put into difficulty. One should see to the peace and comfort of his fellow man and the animals. The development of religious principles, economic development, and sense gratification can then be achieved without difficulty. Vasudeva expressed his sorrow due to not being able to give protection to his own sons born of Devaki. He was thinking that religious principles, economic development, and the satisfaction of his senses were therefore all lost. On hearing this, Nanda Maharaj replied, "My dear Vasudeva, I know that you are very much aggrieved because the cruel King Kamsa has killed all your sons born of Devaki. Although the last child was a daughter, Kamsa could not kill her, and she has entered into the celestial planets. My dear friend, do not be aggrieved. We are all being controlled by our past unseen activities. Everyone is subjected to his past deeds, and one who is conversant with the philosophy of karma and its reaction is a man in knowledge. Such a person will not be aggrieved at any incident, happy or miserable." Vasudeva then replied, "My dear Nanda, if you have already paid the government taxes, then return soon to your place, because I think that there may be some disturbances in Gokul." After the friendly conversation between Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, Vasudeva returned to his home. The cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, who had come to Mathura to pay their taxes, also returned. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 5th chapter of Krishna, Meeting of Nanda and Vasudeva.